In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Today's gospel passage and sermon text is a famous story of our Lord's rejection when he visits the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. The Gospel of Mark selects so many of his miracles, his teaching, his proclamation that takes place in the synagogue. It would have been second nature for our Lord to go to the synagogue. He was raised in the synagogue. But he went to his hometown. These are the people that knew more facts about him than anyone else. And yet, they missed it. They missed it. There was the Son of God. There was this incarnate love of God standing before them. And because of what we call the phenomenon of familiarity, under their noses, and they missed it. And in this famous story, Jesus replies with a more famous proverb that has made its way into our colloquial English that we often use in sincerity and also in fun. The prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, not his own kin, in his own household. We know that proverb well. I remember well the day of my ordination, one of the happiest days of my life. For ordination day is so very important. By tradition, on the tombstone of a priest, you have the birth, the death, and the date of ordination. The bishop ordained became a mentor. So many of my seminary friends traveled to come to the ordination. My mother wore a bow in her hair. And the church gave a great reception. And I remember in the reception line, the hug and the love, and from time to time people said, "Oh, you're a new priest, give me a blessing." So I just freshly memorized my blessing prayer and said the blessing. But then, suddenly, before my eyes, was my twin sister. And she just shook her head and she laughed and she pointed to my brand new beautiful white plastic collar. She said, "You're the silliest looking thing in And to this day, my sister as a minister keeps me from being above myself and keeping me humble. There's something about the phenomenon of familiarity. In the gospel story today, it's not just the phenomenon, we see the obstacle of familiarity. And it was a tragic thing in this story. The people were so familiar, they missed who Jesus was. They missed the opportunity. It's a curious thing. And from that point on, the gospel, the writer of Mark, never mentions that Jesus entered another synagogue. I'm sure he did, and other gospels say he did. But Mark is punching a point. He also, immediately following, as we heard read a song, that Jesus sent out his disciples in the first missionary journey. He did not send them to the traditional spiritual centers of the city, but outward, past Galilee, even into Gentile territory, to proclaim that the new miracles not in the synagogue, but more in homes and houses. And he gave them very specific instructions and detailed physical, even about what to wear. And we'll come back to that in a minute. But first, let's go back to Nazareth just for a moment, to the synagogue. Because I think it's so easy for us to go to that story and to say with great judgment, "Oh, how those people missed it. They failed to see the Lord." And yet, we should say that there before the grace of God go I, go we. Because how often in the midst of familiarity do we miss it? Especially those of us often who brag and say, "Oh, I'm a cradle Episcopalian. I'm a cradle religious person. I know all the feast days, the fast days, the fair days. I know how many swings of an incense to do the paschal candle. I know what motet to fit with white one or white two." And these things are important. Not only important, they're holy. But even the mess of familiarity, we don't want to lose sight of what's important. The voice of God, the living presence of God, His accountability. There's a beautiful story in the second chapter of Revelation when the angel speaks to the church at Ephesus. And the angel says, "I have this for you. You have toiled, you have persevered, you've worked hard. But this I have against you. You've left the love you had at first. You've left that first love.
And how often, even in the midst of familiarity of religion, we forget that love we had at first of the Lord Jesus. And life is too short to forget that. It's just too short. When the casket goes down in the grave, what we want to say is that we try hard not to waste a single day. To have every hour that we could, not to miss it, but see God's hand and feet and to know His love. To have that purpose in our life. And then the casket can do it. So how is it that we might not miss it? How is it that we might hold warm our love for Jesus and feed His hands and feet on this earth? Well, let's go back to the first missionary journey. Because the instructions that Jesus gave His disciples, He gives to us. I think these are our keys. Think about it. What did He have the disciples do? First He said, there's only 4 points, don't worry. First He said, He took them out 2 by 2. It's never, Christianity is very personal. It's very intimate, but it's never private. We're never meant to go it alone. A few hermits did the first few centuries, but it didn't work. It was replaced by monasticism. People living in community. Jesus sent His disciples out 2 by 2. We're called to be part of a family. To encourage one another, St. Paul says, day after day, as long as it's still called today. And the family called the church is far from perfect, isn't it? But it's still called the Holy Church. Why? Because its purpose is holy. When we come together as a family, we support one another and we grow. Some of you might come only by discipline to this family. And by the way, it takes discipline and habit to come to part of a family. One of the travesties of the pandemic is many lost touch of that discipline. And they slip away from that family. So it takes discipline and decision to be part of the family. Some might come and that might be spiritually numb on the day, but someone else in your pew, whose name you might not even know, will carry you in faith, will sing the hymns on your behalf, will pray on your behalf, and then the other day, you lift them. So we hold one another accountable, we encourage. We have to have that family. Secondly, Jesus noticed, he said to, I love this part, take to simplify your life. Take a tunic, not two tunics, one, a sandal, no bag, no money. Now, some people take this in a dramatic way, can literally join a convent, a monastery, take a vow of poverty, but the instruction is for us all. All of us are called to simplify our lives. All of us are called to the lower means financially, the lower means of activity and talent, because when we're hooked to the net with debt, when we're hooked up with commitments and activities, there's no room left to serve the greater good above us. There's no room left to feel God's call into His service. And so perhaps this week, think about in creative and practical ways in which we might simplify physically and through activity and financially, simplify our lives so that room will be left not to miss it when the Spirit of God speaks to us. And thirdly, the disciples knew who their boss was. They were given authority to cast out demons and to heal, but they always knew that they were the branches attached to the vine. The authority came from their Lord. We are never to forget that we are attached always to the nutrient of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to Mass, consciously and subconsciously, we're reminded who we are, who is our Lord and Savior in our hearts. And then fourthly and lastly from the solemn name, I've always been fascinated by this. He said, if you're rejected, shake the dust off your feet and keep on going. And it tells us that even the disciples, the chosen of the Lord, had difficulties and failures. Scripture tells us that blessings and prosperity and tragedy and unfairness all fall on the just and the unjust the same. Being a lover of Jesus and a disciple doesn't keep us from tragedy, keep us from unfairness, the presence of racism, and list goes on. But what we are promised is the presence of Christ in it. And we are to shake the dust of our feet and keep on going. And that is the challenge of this generation, I think more than any other. So more than any other time in history, our spiritual attention is shrinking. Now we live in an age of instant love, instant information, instant music, instant food, instant gratification. Love slowly and slowly our attention spans are shrinking. When one thing doesn't work, we check it and go to something else. But faith never works. Faith is always takes place in the long haul of time. And we need to remember that and it's more positive than any other today. Keep on going, put one foot in front of the other, with the promise of the presence of Christ. Let us consider these practical gifts of our Lord today, so that when the Lord Jesus next comes to our synagogue, that is to our hearts, we might not miss it. We might choose to feel it and to serve Him and to love Him. Amen.